Welcome to The Geek in Review, the podcast focused on innovative and creative ideas in the legal industry. I'm Marlene Gebauer.
And I'm Greg Lambert. And we are on location this week at the ION.
So exciting.
And we actually have Zach Barnes back with us. And we're actually not drinking this time.
But, you guys are gluttons for punishment is what it is.
But when you were on before, Zach, we talked about maybe talking with Joey Sanchez and doing it on site here at the ION. And unlike most of the times when we say we need to follow up on something, we actually did this time around. So we brought in Joey Sanchez.
It wasn't easy, but we did it.
And then we ambushed him too, which is the best part. I didn't tell him what we were doing today. So this is the best part. So this is live, unscripted, all the best parts.
Yeah, we do not have a script, so it may show.
We are scriptless.
So, Joey, I'll let you introduce yourself, what you do here at the ION, and kind of what brought you into this startup industry.
Yeah, absolutely. So, born and raised in Sugar Land, Texas. Grew up, love this city. I love the region. Went to school in Jacksonville, Florida. Came back to Houston as fast as I could.
Yeah.
And been here ever since. Lived downtown Houston. It's really been a journey. Started in oil and gas, like many people do in Houston, but wanted to be a part of the city's future, which got me into the Greater Houston Partnership about 7-8 years ago, and just took me on a journey of finding people who care about the future of Houston. And now I'm here at the ION as of 9 months ago, and it's an exciting place to be for sure.
So tell us a little bit about the ION, the history of the building, and then the purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is the original Sears building of Houston. It was a showcase, a very great space to be back in 1934 is when this building was built. First escalator in Houston. It was air conditioned. Three
stories. It's a history of innovation.
Oh, yeah. And the beauty of it is Sears was an innovative company.
Oh, yeah.
They would sell you a house or underwear on a to your house via
get your catalog. Christmas photos done.
Yeah.
Do everything.
So that catalog was innovative of its time, and they sunsetted it in 1997. In 1998, a small company was created called Amazon. Yeah. And if only Sears would have put that catalog on the internet, they would have crushed Amazon before it even gotten started. And so that genesis of disruption of the small startup who has now become the world's largest company, is why I wanted to be here at the ION. And that's the idea of the ION, is to help create the next big thing and have it come from Houston. So the Sears building to the district is also the next element that most people don't know, is the ION is actually a 12-city block district that is just getting started. In the next 10 years, we'll see another 6 buildings built, creating an innovation district to rival the world. And this building's just the beginning. So excited for y'all to be here.
And we talked a little bit earlier about it, and I think we mentioned it, Zach, was this kind of sprung out of all of the work that was done to lure Amazon in, I think,
2017.
Yeah. And so it's nice that cities don't just put that effort out there for one thing and then you don't get it, it goes to waste. So.
Yeah, there was 3 things that happened in 2017 that were monumental. Astros won the World Series. that was big.
Yeah.
Hurricane Harvey hit, and the proposal was actually submitted to Amazon the week after Hurricane Harvey hit to Amazon, and they left us off the top 20 list.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah. Only fourth largest city in the greatest country in the world, and not good enough for Amazon. So it was a wake-up call for the city, and our lead investor, or the steward of this, the land that we're on, Rice University, said, all right, well, okay, Amazon may not want it, but let's do something great for the region. Let's do something great for the city. And so they put this ION district plan in place, and it broke ground in 2019 and opened August 2021.
So what's kind of the clientele of the ION?
Sure. Yeah, it's a whole group of different communities. So we have our startup and investor community. We have our academic network community. We have our corporate innovator community. And then the neighborhoods at large. You know, we want to be partners with our neighborhoods. We are in the middle of 4 of the best neighborhoods in Houston. You have Third Ward to our east, Midtown to our north, Montrose to our west and the museum district to our south. And so being an anchor in the middle of all four of those neighborhoods to help progress Houston, to innovate in Houston, is really the exciting part of this building.
So how do you bring those communities together? Because they're all pretty diverse communities.
Absolutely. Well, I think it's rooted in opportunity. You know, everybody wants the opportunity to make their lives better, to make their neighborhood better, their city better. And so that's what we want for this district is, you know, if you want to change the world, come to the Ion District. This is really the spot for you to meet and find out the next big thing.
What I thought was really cool about the Ion when I came to visit and in talking to Zach and to you was that it's not just, okay, this is a technology innovation hub. It's all innovation. Like, you're covering everything. So can you tell us a little bit about some of the projects that you're doing and sort of how you're bringing different industries, organizations together for innovation?
It is about innovation, and innovation is a buzzword, right? But when it comes down to...
as we all nod.
Yeah. But, you know, really it's about doing something differently than always before. And Houston wasn't really known for that. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And now we have a whole space dedicated to finding out new ways to break things, to fix them. And that's our Ion Prototyping Lab. In the back corner, it's a 10,000 square foot space where it's essentially a garage on steroids for any maker to 3D print. There's metal forging, woodworking, laser cutting, everything you possibly could imagine in order to create a prototype. Because in Houston, we build shit. It's not just software. We have some of the biggest manufacturing companies in the world in our backyard. So giving startups that same kind of edge and entrepreneurs the ability to build is really what makes Houston special. Mm-hmm. So we have that on our main lobby, and really just bringing people together. We're a convener. We bring all these different communities and ecosystems together in order to share the knowledge, share opportunity, bridge connections, and it's working. We've been open since August of 2021. Pandemic really hurt in regards to bringing people together. Yeah. So May 9th through the 13th was our official grand opening called Activation Festival. So we've officially only been open for about 3 months now.
Mm-hmm. I know Zach won't like this, but I know there's a law firm's name on in the lobby that rhymes with the maker slot.
Well done. Well done. Way to dodge that.
But Zach, I know with you and with LX Studios that you've started up there at Norton Rose Fulbright, that you've been interested in. You're the one that kind of got us interested in here. What is it about something like this where Houston is creating this innovation district? I know my attorney's eyes light up because they see business, but what's really kind of the end for law firms or for the legal industry in these innovation districts?
Sure. So like we were joking about, you know, and just talking about before we came in here, Joe was like, oh, you really did get a business out. And like, well, I said I was going to. It just took me a little bit longer because there's a longer lead time. And by me, I really like something I was pushing on, but there's definitely been help from some of the things we've just done at the firm. But to do that, you have to surround yourself with the same mentality, and you have to understand and be around the people that are going through the same fights. And so from my perspective, as the guy that came in and was telling people well before I actually got it totally underway and the momentum, like, I'm going to start a company out of a law firm, you know, I made sure I surrounded myself with those people because there's an energy in that, and some of it, you know, drives strictly from Joey and what he's done. But I'd seen what had gone on at Rice from previous roles and had worked with their energy tech accelerator there, AlSpark, Data to Knowledge is a program we work with now. And so understanding what Rice had bought into post-Amazon was a big thing. And so when there's the coffee meetup, Cup of Joey, downtown, it was really easy for me to get to. Now, obviously, it's here, it's less frequent, but I have a team. I still send a team here. And so one, the energy is the important part. Two, absolutely, every startup needs legal and business advice, and they need help to get there. And every law firm, yeah, their eyes light up like, oh, they're going to be the next Amazon. But the reality is that lawyers and legal practice has to understand that The purpose of that is to just de-risk business. And so helping those companies is fun for me, fun to see them get going. Having done it myself a few times, I know that the stress. So thrilled to be part of that community. That's the important part, right?
Yeah, the ecosystem. And yep. And so that's actually my title here is Senior Director of Ecosystems at the ION. And okay. That's a fun way of saying community development and bringing people together to go through shared experiences and shared failures and shared success. Because in Houston, we are such a large geographic area that the likelihood that we would all run into each other out on the streets, that's called a car accident on 59. Right. That's not, yeah. Yeah. We don't have that public realm of, you know, a community center for innovation. And that's essentially what this building is. It's an open building. You don't need a key fob to get in. This is not a corporate tower. This is a community of people, startups, investors, corporations. And so you may see sponsors on the wall, but you won't see a Rice owl anywhere. There is no logo for Rice University on this ION building or the ION district on purpose, because it is meant for all academic institutions. It's meant for all corporations to be a part of it. And that's where I get most excited, is my passion for why I do this is because my brother and my best friend both moved from Houston to Seattle and Boston for tech. And I think that's bullshit. I want people to realize that Houston can be a space for innovation, for tech. And by building this community, this Cup of Joey community, you know, it's really become a family. And we're seeing it grow. And people are more willing to take the risk of entrepreneurship because they see other like-minded people doing the exact same thing. So that's where we're excited to see this ecosystem, this community grow from all different industries, all different walks of life.
So Zach mentioned, and you mentioned the Cup of Joey community. Can you tell us a little bit about Cup of Joey and how that got started and what it's all about?
Yeah. So Cup of Joey is a coffee networking meetup every Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. for innovative ideas. And it all started with an event that we created 2 years ago called Houston Tech Rodeo. Houston Tech Rodeo was an idea on the back of a napkin, January 2nd, 2020. And we were able to execute it by March 1st of 2020. And so
And then 2 weeks later.
And then as the world was shutting down, South by Southwest canceled, the NBA season was canceled, and we're sitting there with 2,000 people in 35 different events in Houston, Texas, talking about the tech ecosystem.
Wow.
And so that propelled our pandemic with connection, because we had a group of people who cared about the viability of Houston as a tech hub. And so for the next 2 years, we were able to host plenty of online meetings and connections and create good content. And as soon as the mask ban was lifted, the federal mask ban, we started Cup of Joey. And that first week, there were 7 people there. And through unreasonable repetition, we created every Friday. And now it's north of 150 people every Friday organically coming to the ION to meet other people who give a shit.
Yeah, when we were there, it was a very big crowd.
Yeah, there was a couple things going on that day. Now, one of the things, because I know sometimes a person may have, you know, a germ of an idea, something that they think.
Did you say germ?
Germ. not a virus. Not a virus. Sure. But you know, they've got something in the back of their head, or they've got something that they've been working on that they know is just the basis for a startup or an idea that it's going to change the way people do a certain thing. And when they come to a Cup of Joey, not knowing anybody that's going to be in that room, but having that idea, what do you say, or how do you encourage them to get in and meet with the community?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you have that idea, the worst thing you can do is hold on to it and not tell anybody, because you may think someone's going to steal it, but really, it's who can execute like that idea to the fullest.
Deal with this every day with lawyers.
Exactly.
I mean, he's saying the same thing I do all the time, right?
Yeah. You have to get feedback on the idea, but then you also get advice and you get a roadmap of what to do with it. I remember having an idea, you know, back in the day, and I didn't know how or who to talk to in the legal world. So I ended up not copywriting the or trademarking, you know, the certain phrase and topic. And guess what? That business idea didn't go anywhere. So having that network of people who are willing to help and surround you with mentorship or guidance is huge. So when you come to Cup of Joey, when you come to the Ion, you're encouraged to say hello to others and introduce yourself so that you can, you know, create a relationship so that you can help each other out. The legal world is very confidential, but when you're just getting started, you have to see if the idea is market ready or can be validated. You need to get feedback. But where do you go? Like, you can go to a chat room, but you're talking about not knowing the person across from you. So that's what Cup of Joey provides to you. That's what the Ion provides to you, is it gives you a authentic community to validate your idea and then hopefully scale your idea into a viable business and into a successful startup.
Do you have, or can you share any success examples in that regard of folks that did connect and were able to bring something to fruition?
Absolutely. Like it's...
I'm so glad you asked.
Yeah. it's crazy because, you know, I can't guarantee it, but it happens all the time. The very first week of Cup of Joey, I had a gentleman, he had a technology called FitLift. And it's a wristwatch that can monitor weightlifting in real time. So track your reps, track the weight, and track the speed and see if you're doing your lifts correctly. So this guy showed up to Cup of Joey 5 days in a row or 5 weeks in a row. And on that fifth week, we were having it at a coffee shop in downtown. Some Houston Astros fans walked in. I thought they were there for Cup of Joey. And so I introduced myself.
Invite them over.
And I said, hey, you know, welcome in. This is, you know, coffee meetup for innovative ideas. And they're like, oh, so like the R&D department for the Houston Astros would be interested? And I go, absolutely. That's exactly who it should be. They're like, well, we just walked in. And at the exact same moment, Eric from FitLift walks up and he gets to demonstrate his weightlifting wristwatch to the Houston Astros R&D department. Talk about serendipity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that is what my role now is to facilitate or engineer serendipity. And so in the back of my mind, I have a good running list of most of the people who come through the door and what their needs are. And then I'm trying to pair them up with people in the room. So you know how you do a warm introduction email to introduce people, kind of like you did for me today.
Sort of.
Yep. That's what I do at Cup of Joey, but in person. And so imagine getting introduced to the next podcast guest right there and then as I tell them about your podcast and why the person should be on it. So that's what Cup of Joey does. But really, the Ion has given me that ability to do this 24/7 with this building, with the coffee shop here. And man, it's exciting because we're starting to see the acceleration of innovation by connecting these communities all around.
And Zach, what initially drew you over here?
Joey. No, seriously. So I met Joey because he's part of the Blue Tile Project, which goes back and rehabilitates the neighborhoods that used to have the addresses in the blue and white tiles. And since I live in a blue tile neighborhood, we reached out and somehow got a hold of Joey at one point, and he put us in touch with, what's his name?
Eric Mayer. Yeah. Which this is crazy that you're saying that, because that idea that I didn't protect was the blue tile street signs that if I would have had a community, I would have known to like get the right legal advice to protect it.
So Marlene is new to Houston and
Marlene's like looking at all you like what?
Blue tile, and probably 99% of the listeners are wondering what the blue tile. Sure. It used to be in some of the older established neighborhoods on the street curb, there would be an address that was in blue and white tile.
Yep, the street name.
Mosaic.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Blue and white
and
tiles.
So it's absolutely, it's beautiful. It was well known here in Houston to do it. So
bluetileproject.com.
You know, that's what we do here. We name drop things.
Yeah, if you want to check it out, definitely. But it's a civic image of the city that people have literally been underneath their feet for 100 years. but not paid attention to. And so that's, you know, that was my first foray into, you know, community development in Houston. And I was able to gain a large community of, you know, historic preservationists who cared about these street signs. We have a beer at Eighth Wonder that has the logo on it. There's one at Greater Heights, you know, in the Blue Tile IPA. And speaking of,
I know it well.
Yeah. But that if I would have trademarked Blue Tile Project, you know, I would be getting royalties out of this, but I didn't have that community to know a lawyer, because I didn't know Zach at the time. And, you know, I remember talking to a lawyer out of DC because it was a family friend of a friend. Now, if I would have had...
That's how all lawyers are found.
Which is,
you got a cousin who knows somebody. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now at Cup of Joey, if someone's starting a business, I go, well, Zach's here. My friends at Baker Botts, my friends, you know, at Hunt Andrews Kurth, they show up. And so now you're building relationships and personalized connections so that you can trust people with your most prized ideas, which could be your next big startup.
Do you have peers in other cities that are doing something similar that you reach out to and communicate with?
Great question. You know, there's one guy in Austin, Texas, who's from Houston, but he moved to Austin 12 years ago. His name is Mark Nathan, loves Houston, is a big Houston guy. But he's been the super connector of Austin, almost knows every single like person slash investor slash startup in the Austin community. And now look at where Austin is.
Right.
They're doing it. They're killing it. But there are only 2 million people over there. We have 7.9 million.
Yeah.
We have more Hispanic population than they do population. And so I think the scale of Houston is going to be our biggest opportunity. It's our biggest challenge. But again, opportunity is to really get this message of innovation out.
And because of where Houston is located, there's so many more industries that have bases here that make it important. So we were just talking, you know, we have the Med Center, fantastic, world-class. Everyone just counts it as a mega hospital, but the amount of R&D that's done there,
mm-hmm.
staggering. There's multiple universities that have offices there for the same reason. So that's just medical. Then you get into energy, and that's what Houston's really known for. You've got everyone has their home base here. Some mm-hmm. have moved slightly out. Some are moving back into the city. It doesn't really matter, but the volume of R&D done, that's innovation again. There's multiple wind companies that have moved, you know, people here. I can testify that SpaceX and, you know, Blue Origin are pilfering people out of this ecosystem because they're such great, like, minds. And, like, they don't come to look for the sort of not, you know, the people that don't get things done. So you want to come get them. And then with the port, the amount of containers every day that come off that I've talked about before, like there's an R&D center down there,
which
sort of blows my mind, like how to get things off a ship faster. Like, what? And
but the challenge is our energy corridor to our medical center is 30 miles away. Yeah. And then our aerospace center is 30 miles away from that. Then our port is 30 miles away from that. This is a big, big issue. Yeah.
And there's no transportation.
There's
no public transportation.
Public
transportation. Yeah, the rail system is pretty good, but
But it doesn't reach. Go south, right? Yeah. And you know, I hear, speaking of legal things, the Texas courts cleared a little bit of pathway for the speed. The high
Texas
speed
Central.
Train. Between Dallas and Houston. Houston, which means they're gonna if that ruling stands and precedent, blah, blah, blah. Not a lawyer, play one on TV. if that stands for Galveston and then to Austin Dust, like I would foresee that there's a real economic viability to that. So
There's something to this. And so if you haven't read the Texas Manifesto put out by Capital Factory in Austin, definitely check it out because it's pretty much saying that Texas will become the greatest innovation state in the world. If Dallas, Houston, Austin, San Antonio come together to create a Texas triangle, kind of like Southwest did on the back of a napkin back in the 1970s, we will create this monstrosity of a innovation state. And that railway would help because Austin doesn't have what Houston has. Houston doesn't have, you know, what Dallas has and San Antonio the same. So by 2036, which is Texas's 200th birthday, if we can come together as a state with a high-speed rail, if we can work together as a state this cowboy state that we've built, then I think we're going to...
We can get out of our own way.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So we, in Houston, we want to you know, take that cowboy moniker and change it into the space cowboy, because you are right. You know,
that's taken.
It's taken.
Space Cowboy is the other beer. But,
yeah, there you go.
But whatever.
And a baseball team.
And a baseball down team.
Oh, that's Sugarland. The Sugarland right. Space Cowboys. See, yeah. See, love them.
Right. But, so that's exactly it. But to your point about the triangle, like, I think the thing that I've seen is someone from the outside attending a couple of Joey and Tech Rodeo and South By is that you start to see and hear about entrepreneurs and innovators on the circuit or the triangle. You ride the triangle now. So you go Dallas to Austin, San Antonio, to Houston, back to DFW. And so that's just a normal path now that's, I think, in the last few years, last two or three.
Yeah,
for sure. And it'll be more powerful than the Northeast Corridor.
Oh, yeah.
I have a strong premonition that with World Cup in 2026. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a big win.
And then 2036, that all four of these cities are going to be so big and so influential that I think everyone's going to have to listen. But it's exciting times. And I love that the ION gets to be at the center of the Houston conversation, because with such a large spread out city, we have to have a central hub. And that's what this district is. It's that main central hub to the spokes and the wheel.
Well, I think we covered the crystal ball question in terms of Texas innovation, but we'll circle back to the ION. So, Joey, we ask all of our guests a crystal ball question, like, what do you see for the future in the next 3 to 5 years? So for the ION in particular, what do you see for the next 3 to 5 years?
That's awesome. It's really easy because it's already planned out. IONDistrict.com literally lays out our next 3 to 5 years here. Right now, we have this building, which is the old Sears building, 266,000 square foot facility, 5 floors. Microsoft is on the top floor. Chevron Technology Ventures is on the 3rd floor. We have leased up space already. We have 95% of full co-working space on the 2nd floor with about 150 different companies. And that's just our building. Next door, we have Greentown Labs, which is the largest clean tech accelerator in the country. They started in Boston, Massachusetts, and they chose Houston to be their 2nd headquarters to lead the energy transition that we are all seeing here in Houston. And right now, parking is our biggest challenge. So we have a 10-story, 1,500-space garage going up in the next 10 months. The future is bright. As soon as that parking garage goes up, 3 more buildings will be added, and they are already signed and ready to break ground. We just need the parking to come on board. This building in particular, we have a coffee shop, Common Bond, open every day. We are about to get a 70-tap beer bar opening up in August and a cocktail lounge called Limbar opening September. So we will have a viable, walkable, connected district in the next 3 to 5 years that will be the envy of the world, honestly, I believe. I think Austin is going to get crowded if it's not already.
It's already crowded, yeah.
And people are going to look for space, and space is going to be here, because we are closer to the corporate customers. We are closer to the scalable industries that are changing the world with energy, medical, and aerospace. And so I'm excited to be a part of this in a big way. And I'm looking forward to, in the next 4 years, World Cup will be on the world's stage. And I think the ION is going to be front and center to show why Houston is an innovative city.
I know we were joking about parking because Houston is such a car heavy area, but did want to mention that you're right on one of the main light rail lines.
Yeah.
You can probably hear it go by here every once in a while, and the big bus station as well.
Yep.
So it's not, you know, people are into public transportation. This is a great area for that because you're literally right across the street from the bus and rail station.
And if you, so the Super Bowl in 2004 helped us create the North-South Metro Rail. Super Bowl in 2017 helped us create the East-West Metro Rail. World Cup is in 4 years, and they're talking about a line down Richmond to go to the Galleria, which would connect us to the bus rapid transit there, and then a line to Hobby Airport into Intercontinental. So these are already mapped out and ready to go. So we could see our public transportation really expand in the next 4 years, all just in time for autonomous vehicles. And
well, as long as gas stays above $4 a gallon,
it'll be fine.
Yeah, but it's exciting times. And you said crystal ball. I don't really have to imagine much because it's already moving. It's already going and it's already planned. So I think this is more so on that investment side. If you want to invest in a city that's got a huge upside, I think Houston is the place. I'm a little biased, but I love it.
We're all a little biased in this room, I think. Well, Joey Sanchez, Zach Barnes as well, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us.
Yeah, thank you both.
All right.
And of course, thanks to all of you for taking the time to listen to the Geek & Review podcast. If you enjoyed the show, share it with a colleague. We'd love to hear from you, so reach out to us on social media. I can be found at GayBauerM on Twitter.
And I can be reached at Glambert on Twitter.
Or you can leave us a voicemail on the Geek & Review hotline at 713-487-7270. And as always, the music you hear is from Jerry David DeSica. Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry. That's our Texas connection.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you.
All right, Marlene. Bye.
Bye-bye.